One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. Hell, yeah, what else can I say?
We are back all together in our new studio.
Reunited.
Oh, man, what's it been?
Together again at last.
What's it been, 2 years, three? Oh, this is great.
What do you think of the studio? This is your first time seeing it.
This is fantastic, man.
Thank you.
What do you think of the decoration of the studio?
Oh, there's a Science Faction banner. That's what Dave is referring to.
You know, if you told me to make a banner, I would have made a banner.
Listen, I'm happy to put up a Degenerates banner. I just have to be provided with a banner.
Well, you need to ask me for a goddamn banner. Just got back off a tour. We two episodes where I was out there in the Midwest. The Midwest has a way of making you feel like a big star, man.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere sure. You go. Because people ask me, like, why, after all the tours you've done, would you do the Midwest? I'm like, well, because when you go to New York or Hollywood or anywhere, any major city, Seattle, even Phoenix, like, comics are dime a dozen, you know? But when you go to Huron, South Dakota,
right.
It is an event.
They are starved for legitimate entertainment.
The entire town shows up.
Yeah. And it's not even just if you're a comic. It's like, hey, look, there's Ryan. He's the guy who can tie a regular non-clip-on tie. Let's go hang out with him.
You guys, you know Bronson, Missouri.
Yes.
Like, Yakov Smirnov is like a big star in Bronson.
Huge.
Like, I feel like in 20 years, Ryan's going to be in Huron. Like, that'll just be like his domain.
What
like,
a country.
By the way, I liked how you turned Branson, Missouri into like Charles
it's from that
Bronson.
Simpsons episode. Yeah, that always throws me. Sorry.
A couple stories about the road that
Real quick, before we get into the stories, how long was your tour?
It was 9 days straight, and that's longer than it seems when you do every single night.
Right, because most guys don't do that.
No. Most people do like one night on, one night off, and their tour is like 3 weeks to a month. But they're taking days in between. They're taking the off nights off. But ours was every single night without exception. So I basically shoved a 3 week tour into like 8 days, 9 days.
That's got to be fun, but it's also got to be taxing after a while.
Very taxing, because I can understand how, like, touring musicians develop speed habits. Because when you do...
Because I did a bunch of speed.
If I had to tour more than I already have to, I can see developing a trucker speed habit.
Yeah.
Lemmy even said it best from Motorhead. He was like, you know, when you perform all night, then get right in the car and go spend hours on the road, then get out and have to do another high-energy performance, you need a little something. And I started to feel that around like day three, not even towards the end.
I don't know what would be worse. Like, Bobby, what do you think? Because, like, I wouldn't want to be in that part of the country for 3 weeks.
Right.
But I also wouldn't want to have to be going 100% every single night.
Well, but the thing is, if you're going to go 100% every night, that's the place to do it. It's not like you're in New York where you're like, I wanted to catch a show and see the sights, you know? You're like, if you're going to be working all
right,
the time.
Right.
There is nothing to do out there. And you know what's funny is you realize that when you try and buy a souvenir, because like in some places it's easy because it's a town people would want to visit. Because every place I went to, I tried to make sure that I sent a postcard from where I was at to Aaron, and I would try and buy myself a fridge magnet to commemorate where I had. That's
right.
Something I do in every town. And some places it's easy, like, welcome to South Dakota. Would you like a postcard with Mount Rushmore on it? Or stop into the gift shop so you can remember your time in Hannibal, Missouri. The home
Some of those towns are just like the whole town is a gift
shop. It's a gift shop. Yeah,
like,
every place
you
go. You
can't not buy something.
But there were some places I went where you couldn't find a souvenir to save your life because they couldn't imagine anyone wanting to remember being there.
Right.
They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why would you want to remember being in Iowa, you idiot? I'm only here because I was born here and then I got someone pregnant and can't leave. Get out of here.
I always love when the small town's claim to fame is something that they're really proud of, but it's like they're like, it's Johnson, Wyoming.
Home of Timothy McVeigh.
The most horseshoes west of the Mississippi. And you're like, what?
Oh, dude, speaking of horseshoes, the food, man. All right, so you guys know that when I go any place, I want to try their local beer, whatever it is. You know, I'm not expecting craft brew. I don't like craft brew. And I want to try whatever food they're known for. So, you know, in Philly, I'm having a Yingling and a cheesesteak, you know?
Right.
But in Chicago, I'm doing some deep dish and whatever beer. All right, first of all, in Illinois, they do something called a horseshoe. Do you know what that is? It's the only time they're like, this is what we eat here. And I went, no thanks. It is a horseshoe in Illinois is a piece of like Texas toast covered in meat. And when I say meat, they haven't defined it. It turns out it's whatever the cook is trying to get rid of that day. It's spoiling, so that's the meat. So they take the Texas toast, whatever meat they're trying to get rid of, ham or ground chuck or something, and over that, they put gravy. And over that, they put French fries. And over the French fries, they put more gravy than cheese, and you just eat it like a pie, and they put it in front of me, and then it was covered in vomit. Because I was like...
I don't know. You're honest, like, kind of selling me on it. It sounds pretty good.
Dave, it's gross.
Ryan, before you reveal what it is, Dave, are you familiar with the term Texas toast? Am I the only one who doesn't know what this is?
It's basically just like thick white bread.
Okay, I thought it was going to be like, it's like toast that is totally morally okay with sentencing retarded people to death. Like, that's...
It's racist toast.
Yeah. I shouldn't have said retarded. Sorry, mentally disabled.
Mongoloid, please.
I'm sorry for all the mentally disabled people who were sentenced to death who were offended by my statement.
So, that was that.
I don't know. Honestly, it doesn't sound that bad. Maybe if I saw it, I would have a different...
Yeah, it kind of sounds kind of like a weird Midwest version of a California burrito. I'm in, man.
Yeah. You know what? I actually ended up hanging out with a guy whose grandfather invented this, and I'm like, do you eat it? He's like, no.
Hang on. Now, I feel like that's the kind of place where everyone's grandfather invented
it. Yeah, might be. I only hung out with like four people in Springfield.
Yeah, I feel like I met eight people in college whose uncle John Long Island invented the Long Island iced tea.
So I wanted to tell this thing that happened to me, and maybe you guys can relate to this. So this happened in Des Moines, Iowa. Fitting, because this happened immediately after I recorded my segment for last week's show. So I recorded that segment in our hotel. I got dressed, and we went right to the venue. We get there in Des Moines, Iowa, and keep in mind, I was in Kansas City, Missouri the last night. Google that drive. It's like from here to Vegas, and we had to go right on stage.
Right.
So I've been on the road all day. No pit stops. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. I'm dehydrated. So we get in there, and I don't know if it was the owner or whoever it was, introduced me to the guy who's going to be opening for me, and it's an older guy. Like, he could easily be 50. And it's always been kind of weird for me when an older guy is opening for me because, I mean... We all have a hierarchy in our mind of, you know, the older person is supposed to be more experienced and further along.
Right.
You know? And that's not just in comedy. It's picture a day job where usually, you know, your manager's 5 to 6 years older than you, your director's, you know, 10 years older than you, and so forth. But then once in a while, you know, your manager brings over some 67-year-old dude like, this is Murray. Train him. He just started with the company. Like, hi, Ryan. Murray's the name. Teach me how to use a computer. And like, oh, well, this is weird.
You know what I like about Ryan, Dave? Ryan's this weird mixture of a person. Most people are either really far to one spectrum or another. Ryan is like very far to one spectrum on one side, but then on the other side, he's almost a Korean in his deference to age. Like he has weird loyalties that are completely counter to his personality. Never mind.
I feel like the way you said spectrum a few times, you're trying to say something else about.
Yeah,
it.
No, not at all. Not at
say
all.
I'm autistic or something.
No, that's my bit. I'm going with that.
So, anyways, they introduced me to this guy. And he just launches right into spewing information about himself onto me. He just verbal diarrhea. Like, I'm like, hey, how's it going, man? I'm Ryan. He's like, yeah, I own a house in North Carolina. I'm born and raised in Iowa, and you know, my parents left it to me. And you know, I realized during the last election that I could vote in both elections, so I did. You're not supposed to do that, but I did it anyway. And I was looking up some blue laws, and like, the guy starts just all right. So it comes to a point where I realize I'm being talked at. And I don't know, I mean, maybe this is a thing, and I've seen this before, I know you guys have too, maybe it's because the fact you're in a small nothing of a town where, because you're a touring comic and they're like a local bumpkin that like, they think you're a bigger deal than you are and they're trying to impress you, or maybe just because they're from nowhere, to them you are a big deal and they're trying to make a first impression, but I'm being talked at.
It's probably just that there's nobody else in that town who hasn't heard all of his bullshit. He's like, oh my God, a new pair of ears.
Right. That was kind of part of it. And he just spewed it on me. And I'm trying to like be polite because maybe this is this comedy scene's Vicky Bobolak who just hasn't made it on AGT yet. Maybe he's a local fixture and I want to be respectful. So I'm trying to be polite. But in my mind, I'm like, dude, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I just need to write out my act. I don't have time for this bullshit right now. And he's just spewing, not giving me a word in edgewise. I'm even trying to be like, so what's the weather like in North Carolina this time of year? Yeah. So anyway, my wife, he just mows over my questions. So I'm a little annoyed at that.
You should have lit him with your phone. Just hold it. 1 minute, wrap it up.
Oh my God, I'm going to start doing that to comics in real life.
Just start playing.
Oh, that's
music.
A fucking awesome idea, Dave.
So anyways, as he's talking to me, I'm starting to kind of tune him out. I'm like, all right. So he's like, yeah. So anyway, my wife tells me, I'm like, all right, do I get a chef's meal or a shift meal or something like that? Or do I get a crack at that buffet? Oh yeah. So anyways, I was talking to my wife the other day. I wonder if they charge for soda water. You know, they charge me for soda water at that burger place back there. That's kind of bullshit, isn't it? I know the fucking gas costs money, but it's water really. And so, and finally, after like the, a few minutes of this, I'm like, hey man, I don't mean to be rude, but I need to go get into character, right? And he's like, oh yeah, he's still trying to get some tidbits in on me, okay? So anyways, I find a darkened booth, I get a couple slices of pizza, I get my soda water, I get my set list out, I'm happy, I'm where I need to be, the show starts, I'm in the back, and this guy goes on first. He goes up, and then I hear, so I got a house here in North Carolina. You know, I was talking to my wife the other day. It's the exact same words, verbatim, that he was spewing on me. This dude was doing his fucking act for me.
Do you think maybe he got confused and thought you were just a one-man audience? Like, maybe he was like, here is what I'm here to perform in front of.
Oh, the audience is here. Time to go.
Somebody said he just got in from California, and he's like, he came so far to hear me at a one-man show.
Am I right to be a little upset and annoyed by that? Am I right to be a little annoyed? Because this guy verbatim was doing his act that he knew I was about to hear anyway in less than 15 minutes.
But it's so good. You got to hear this. You got it.
Twice, though?
This brings up something which I haven't said out loud, but I actually think is something we should talk about. Comics have to have a line about using material in their everyday life. Because sometimes somebody's going to bring something up that you have material about that's part of your act that would contribute to the conversation, and it's funny to say. And I think legally, as a comic, the only way you can say that is if you start off with, oh, I have a bit that goes something like,
yeah,
like I have this, and then you're bouncing it off and they can give you critiques or they can laugh or whatever. But the people who try and work part of their bits into everyday conversation, I feel like they're spies. Like they're doing something immoral and wrong. Because I'll laugh and I'll be like, oh, that was funny. And then you hear them say the same thing on stage and you're like, I thought that was off the cuff, you lying motherfucker.
That's a little, the betrayal I felt was similar to
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I'll go you one better. Here's what we need in the comic community across the nation. This just needs to be a recognized thing. We need just a safe word that if someone's talking at you doing bits, you just say the safe word and they know to stop.
And that would be great, but I don't think they would honor that because you're not supposed to do that in the first place. You're not supposed to just give me pre-rehearsed lines when I think I'm in a conversation. Even if that conversation's one-sided, I at least think you're talking to me. You're not like closing your eyes and reciting something you came up with earlier. I don't even like that. When I listen to Morning Zoo Radio with Boomer and Moo Cow or whatever, I know you guys have heard this, like on Friday morning on your way to work, you turn on the Morning Zoo and they got whatever asshole's going to be at the funny local funny bone that weekend, and you can tell he's doing bits for the people like,
yeah
so what's your life been like? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I tell my friends that marriage is like drugs. You could lose your house. You could lose all your money. I tell them, whoa. I'm like, this guy's doing his bit. Fuck this guy. He can't even be funny for Boomer and Floor Wax here.
You can always tell it, too, when they have to, like, jump a little bit too far to get to the premise of the joke. Like, somebody will be like, you know, it's funny. I was at the San Diego Zoo the other day. I saw a monkey, and he sees the opportunity and jumps in. He's like, monkey, you know what monkeys like is bananas. I was talking to a friend about a banana recently, and then he goes into his bit, and you're like, you work too hard to get there.
I have a bit about that. Let me just pitch it to you.
Now you can do it. Now it would be legal. Listen, everybody, we're setting the rule down right now. As a comedian, you have to state, I had a bit like that, or I have a bit like that, and say that before you're allowed to jump into a bit with another comic.
It's fun when you can catch it, too, because they make that jump. Like, here's an exact fun verbatim that happened. I was in front of the Madhouse, and I was with my friend Michelle. She was drinking a Mountain Dew Baja Blast from Taco Bell, which used to be right across the way from the comedy club. This guy comes up, and he comes up and goes, huh, Mountain Dew Baja Blast, huh? That reminds me of the time my dad told me I was actually Jamaican. I told him, Dad, I'm like, and I went, stop. You're doing a bit, aren't you? There's no way you made that connection. I don't know how you... No. Don't do a bit for me. Please go inside.
I like that, but I want to try a different version. Ryan, can we do this real quick?
Yeah.
I've got a new tactic, which is kind of flipping the whole doing a bit in an inappropriate situation on its head. Can you do the exact same setup as that comedian coming out, and I will be what you should have said.
Okay. Mountain Dew Baja Blast, huh? You know, that reminds
me. Oh my God, it's her birthday! It's Susie's bachelorette party. Everybody pay attention. If you're going to do bits in real life, I'm going to fucking heckle you in real life like you're at a comedy club.
All right. I can understand that. Another thing on this trip is that road companion Dan Bublitz, he and I are very different in the sense that he spends all his free time listening to true crime podcasts.
I love true crime podcasts.
I know
Dan,
that.
We're going to have to compare notes.
I know that. I don't like the one he listens to, though. We had to listen to it a lot in the car.
Which one?
I think it's called True Crime Garage.
I listen to a True Crime Garage.
Why do you listen to that? It's just something I like, all right, so the murder that's not been solved yet, she could have been contacted by someone that she knew or someone she didn't know. Good call. So if we've been listening, it's either someone she didn't know or someone she did. We're experts.
True Crime Garage is not the best true crime podcast. I consider
or podcast.
No,
in
not
general.
At all. No, it's like the
those guys suck, man.
It's the methadone of true crime podcasts. Like when you can't get your good H podcast, then you just go down to the True Crime Garage.
That's just two guys reading the paper with no.
Yeah, that sounds like a couple of guys that showed up to podcasts and are like, "So what should our podcast be about?"
I have a paper. This lady went missing. All right, good call. So we know for one thing that we can't find her. All right, stay tuned for next week. They have nothing to offer.
No, but they are a frequent podcast. They put a lot out, and they actually do a decent amount of research. So it's passable.
It doesn't sound like they do a lot of research.
It's passable. It's no
sort that they read the paper.
It's no Sword and Scale or Case File, that's for sure.
All Stop right. plugging other podcasts.
Yeah, we already have a banner in here.
Yeah, go listen to Science Faction if you want some good true crime.
So anyway, he spends all his time listening to true crime podcasts. I spend all my free time, as you know, watching horror movies. So when we get to a sketchy motel, which we stayed in a lot of, we are afraid of very different things. Every time we'd show up, I would see this motel and go, oh, dude, that's haunted. Oh, shit, there's ghosts. There is ghosts? I was sure of it. Or maybe a werewolf. I'm not sure. He was afraid of all the murderous-looking hobos walking around the fucking parking lot. And like, Dave, you remember the Phoenix gig?
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring that up, yeah.
It was a lot like that.
We got a knock on the door at like 1:30 in the morning. We happened to be up watching TV, but blinds closed. And, and someone knocked on the door. We looked at each other like, not answering
no,
that.
No. As a matter
Are
of fact.
Are you kidding me? That's an adventure waiting to happen. You guys.
No. If I remember that story correctly, there was two knocks. The first one came before the show. We were all dressed and ready to go to the gig, but the gig wasn't for another hour. So we're sitting on our beds watching the Bellator fight. And also there's a knock on the door, and Dave gets up to answer it. And I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? He's like, I'm answering the door. I'm like, you don't answer the door at a meth motel. He's like, well, they keep knocking. I'm like, they won't keep knocking. They're looking for someone stupid enough to open the door so you don't fucking answer it. And if they do keep knocking, you yell that you have a shotgun to the door, they'll go away. And he's like, oh. Then at 1:30, when Dave was fast asleep, all of a sudden there's another knock at the door. It wakes me up. I sit up in bed, and all of a sudden Dave, in the middle of his sleep, goes, I have a shotgun to the door. And the guy... The guy went away.
To be fair, I say that in my sleep all the time.
Yeah. Also, you guys really missed out on what was probably the best story of that particular trip. I mean, you guys could have had a lot of fun.
That story is not me getting murdered. So, good
Real
story.
Real quick tangent. You mentioned how you thought the hotel might be haunted. A couple years ago, I was going to see Joe Rogan on New Year's Eve up in L.A.
Yeah.
And just because of the drive, I was thinking, like, it might be nice to get a hotel, stay up there instead of driving 3 hours back home on New Year's Eve.
Right.
So, of course, I waited too long. There was one hotel that actually had vacancy. Like, everything's booked, even miles away, 20, 30 miles away. Everything's booked except for one hotel very close. And it turned out to be the hotel that chick disappeared into the water tank.
The Asian chick who drowned in the water supply tank?
They had changed their name to something different and had vacancies on New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God. I just thought of so many racist names they could have used.
Bobby, what happened with that chick? What's your thoughts? Because there was thoughts in the paranormal community like she was being haunted or something.
No,
or drugs.
There was definitely either drugs or some kind of mental break. You can see the video of the way she is acting, and the way she's acting is very much like somebody who is on some form of hallucinogenic or is on a mental break. You know, like either one of those is. But yes, she.
If it was a hallucinogenic, what would be your guess?
Based on the way she was acting. Okay, so let's do some deductive reasoning. It wouldn't be.
See, this is better than True Crime Garage.
Yeah. It wouldn't be DMT because DMT would be out of your system too quickly.
Yeah, you'd be done.
Could be mushrooms, could be LSD, could be even a PCP, like a PCP lace.
Now, that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
So I've been on mushrooms with you, and yeah. I'm like,
I didn't end up in a water tank on top of a hotel.
That's because you're not applying yourself. So she was on drugs, most likely, and climbed up into a water tank and drowned because once you fall in there, you can't get out. Like, there's no contingency ladder from the inside for water tanks to get out. And so.
He's got to drink away out.
Yeah.
Listen, hotels, do you see what happens when you don't have a pool? They get their own rules, and now you have a bad reputation.
But what's crazy is there were people like drinking that water and bathing in that water. That was the supply tank, if you guys don't know the story. It was the supply tank of the water for that hotel. And so for days, people were looking for
this
lady.
This tastes Asian.
Yeah. Yeah. They were looking for her, and they could not find her anywhere, and people were just drinking that water and showering.
This tastes like house music and neon lights. Gross. Oh, man, we're getting taken.
Anyway, sorry. So back to your haunted hotel.
Right.
Or murderer's hobo hotel.
Well, that's the thing.
He has legit fears. You have fairly illegitimate fears.
Yes, but I have real solutions because
silver bullets and stakes and shit.
Don't work on ghosts, you amateur. Those won't work on a ghost. Have I taught you nothing in the years we've been friends? So, the real solution was because there was some people eyeing Dan because he's about like 5 foot tall.
Right.
Victim. So, anyways, we get.
Yeah, Dan looks like a garden gnome that just wandered away.
Don't be mean to poor Dan.
No, he's cute looking. He's a little adorable
little
guy.
Bear.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we go into the first hotel. He throws his bag on the bed nearest the window. I pick up his bag and move it to the bed furthest from the window.
That's what I do with my wife when we stay in a hotel.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit.
You guys don't sleep in the same bed?
No, we do, but
what is wrong with you?
I love Lucy over here. What is this, the 50s?
I always make
double beds, weirdo.
They get rooms next to each other. No, honey, don't answer your door unless
we sleep in the same bed, but I'm super paranoid, and I make a rule that I have to be between the door and her. Like, the door, yeah, so, like, she can't be the one closest to the door.
He acts like he's taking care of her, but he wants to have the quickest escape route. Like,
yeah, I'm worried.
Down, I am out that door.
Way more likely that we're going to have a fire, yeah. Yeah, so you basically wifed up Dan.
I did, and you know what? For the first hotel, he didn't notice. He put his bag on that bed, I threw it to the other bed, and put my suitcase on that. And the next one, he put his bag on that bed, I moved it, he's like, why are you always moving my bag? I'm like, I want to be close to the window. He goes, why? And for a minute, I almost lied to make him feel better.
I love the view. I love watching hobos pee.
I love this parking lot. I might move here. I almost lied, but I'm like, if someone comes through the window, I want them to run into me and not you.
Can I ask you a question, though, Ryan? Maybe you have the wrong philosophy here, and I want to...
throw Dan as a sacrifice?
Kind of. I want to pose some...
Climb out the bathroom window?
And I'm going to follow our own rules. I used to have a bit about this, but when we would walk around in downtown San Diego, it used to be much worse, but there is still a shitload of homeless people, and there would literally be blocks of like public buildings where that entire block was surrounded by homeless people, like shoulder to shoulder, because they're allowed to be on the public building side of the sidewalk.
Right.
And so I would take dates and I would walk down this way because we lived down here and that's how you would
because
get to...
Because Bobby was hoping to get in a hobo fight and show off his skills.
No, we would... I, when I lived down here...
He would throw coins to him and so they'd treat him like some kind of king. Like...
He was like the prodigal son. Here you go,
I'm
hobo.
The king of the East Village. But I thought one time because I was walking with a girl on a date, and as we approached one of those blocks of hobo people, she wanted to switch from the inside to the outside, so I would be closer.
She wanted to switch
them.
To one of the hobos and leave me behind.
She didn't do so well. No, she wanted to switch it so that she would be on the other side of the hobos.
Bum rape is not a genre of humor.
And she was like, yeah, I feel really uncomfortable. And I was like, oh, yeah, totally. But I kept thinking about it later, and I was like, wait a second, though. This might not be our best choice as a team. Because, like, let's say this one of these hobos jump up to, like, punch you or hurt you or something, right? I'm going to be there to stop them. Like, I'm going to be able to stop them before they get at you. Or, worst case scenario, you might take a blow or two, right?
Why are you taking a date down
I got
hobo
a bit about
alley?
This. Let me talk about worst case scenario. No, I'm kidding.
What?
There's no option. Dude, unless you want to circumnavigate this by going an extra, like, 3 blocks out of the way to go around
three
this
blocks.
One block.
Oh, no. God forbid.
Did you bring your knapsack?
It's fine. It's fine. But I'm like, let's say worst case scenario. So they're not going to win in a fight. I'm going to take a homeless guy in a fight. I'm just going to say that. Like, that'll be fine. Just me and him. But
Ryan, new challenge. Let's make this happen.
But if this homeless hobo guy comes up with a shiv, right? And he comes up and shivs me. Well, then you're just rape bait. Like, you're not getting away. He's going to get you. Bad things are going to happen.
You didn't open your date with this, by the way.
I had
you didn't open with rape bait, did you? Thanks for going out with me. By the way, if anything goes down, you're rape bait.
I called this speech why you should be the human shield. But my logic was, if he comes up and stabs somebody, now granted, we hope this doesn't happen, but it should be you. Yeah, it should be you. Like, because you get stabbed, right? I'll get him with the left cross. It'll be over. I'll get you to a hospital. And you'll be fine. There'll be none of the rape bait, right? But if he gets me, if he gets me, you're done. He can take you any second. You're going to want to be the shield so that I could be a better offense. You should have had the same theory with Dan. I want the homeless person wasting his stabbing efforts on Dan so that I can...
No, here's what your date was thinking. While he's stabbing Bobby, I'm free to escape.
There's no way.
Running.
If he's already quick enough to stab me, he's going to track her down. He's going to get her. Yep.
She 100%. Has skills you don't
what
know about.
Why? Well, then what's his
eyes.
I know, right?
Hold on.
Thunderdome situation.
Let's be realistic.
What do you think hobos are? They're too drunk to stand.
No. Let's be logical about what this hobo wants, right? Is he just out there to stab random people? No. He's going to try and get his rape on. And the only
what
way
are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
The only way he can do that
to all of our hobos. Listeners, I apologize for disparaging.
I'm not saying
your
all
kind.
Hobos, any hobo who's already stabbing
Bobby does
me.
Does not represent the views of the Degenerate
he's not
Podcast.
He's stabbing me for the fun of stabbing. He's stabbing for what he's going to do after the stabbing to the young
Maybe
lady.
Maybe he wants to rape you. You're pretty.
Hey, you know what? Between the two of us, you guys are the ones making hobos seem illogical. Okay, mine makes perfect sense as to what the hobo motivation is.
They are illogical. You know what they
they're
want?
They're not murderous rapists, though.
They want to fit.
Some of them are good people, I guess.
Bobby, they want a fifth of pop off and a dry place to lay down.
Yeah.
And if they're stabbing people, they want to rape. And that is the lesson of the whole story.
Jesus fucking Christ. Can I continue?
So you were
Please
in a hotel
do.
Room.
Please.
So anyway, Bubbles is getting raped, long story short. I stabbed them both and went, bunch us. See you later. I hopped out the window to safety. Yeah, basically I was like, I want them to run into me and not you. And he's like, well, you got... sort of offended for like a second, you know, even though I'm twice his size as a martial arts trainer, he's like, what did he say I couldn't throw down? I'm like, I just spent 5 cities listening to you tell a story about how you were afraid of balloons one time. So yeah, if a bass head jumps through the window with
a
rusty
balloon comes through the window.
If you get attacked by the clown from it.
That was our travel schedule.
Nice.
I yelled at a kid with autism a few nights ago.
Just like in person?
I feel like that's kind of par for the course.
Yeah.
Wait, was it me just now?
All right, let me just say this. I feel like everyone, not just in this room, but everyone listening, has at least one friend on, quotation marks, friend, one friend on Facebook or some social media site that you're constantly having to hold your tongue and prevent yourself from just letting them fucking have it. All right. And this
Are you saying it's the same friend for everybody? Because that'd be amazing.
No,
Tom's a dick. Why do we all hang out with him?
There's a wide variety of situations where this would come about. Like, here's a few examples. Maybe it's the person that's seemingly always going through a downward spiral that's clearly of their own making.
I know that guy.
Just every post is, I lost my job for no fucking reason. Then I came home. I was the perfect husband. My wife left me for no reason. Oh, shit. I've been evicted for no reason. I pay my rent on time. Never make a noise. Evicted for no reason. You're like, you're clearly on drugs or there's something going on.
I know three of those people.
Yeah, yeah. Or there's the what, and there's a lot of overlap with this one. There's the what can you all do for me today person.
Oh.
That person where it's just, you know, like, everyone needs to go to my page and donate to my GoFundMe, and that's why there's a lot of overlap. Like, I've been evicted again. Everyone needs to go to my GoFundMe.
That's the hey assholes. Yeah. I need some help right now. Yeah. Where the fuck are you?
I like the people because I actually think this is better to watch. It's like a slow moving train wreck, and I don't want to be sexist here, but they tend to mostly be women, and I think that's only because women.
I've seen half and half.
The ones I'm about to describe, because I think women get validated when they do this, and guys just get made fun of. But The ones that are total train wrecks, whether it's with their partner or with some random person at work, they constantly just got the shortest end of the shortest stick that's ever been handed to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always the other person has done something horrible to them. And if you were to believe their accounts of their day-to-day life, they step outside the front door, somebody yells a racial slur at them while throwing a prepared water balloon full of urine.
Right.
And then you know, crashes their car.
The perpetual victim is what you're describing.
Not just victim, but it's one thing when people perceive I'm a victim because this situation went weird. It's the, you're straight up just lying. Like, there is no validity to your case. No, I don't believe a cop just shot your dog for fun. What are you talking about? Right. You don't even have a dog. What are you talking about?
The cop shot it. You insensitive piece of shit.
A cop crawled through the motel window.
Got past Bublitz.
That's a perfect example. The perpetual victim and the perpetual, this doesn't add up person.
Yeah.
And while we're on the subject, I don't know if I told you this story, but when I was, I'm going to say 26, there was this smoking hot bartender at a local punk bar. And like, I had the biggest crush, dude. Oh, the biggest crush. She was tattooed, bright blue eyes. I was like, oh, she's awesome. About a couple years later when I was single, she was like, hey guys, I've been tossed out of my apartment. I need a place to crash for a couple nights. And I was like, now's my chance.
You know what I love though?
Fell for that one.
As Ryan is doing that, simultaneously around San Diego, there were 55 other guys going, oh my God!
Uh-huh, yes. Listen to what Bobby just said.
And there were 7 guys going, uh-uh, not again.
Listen to what Dave just said. Now combine the two. As I'm preparing to be like, hey man, I got my own place on the bay here. I got some room. All of a sudden, I did a little bit of red flag math. And I'm like, she is smoking hot.
Yeah.
Why is no other guy responding to this?
Oh.
No, everyone knows her around town. She's like the local fixture of the bar community, the bar scene. She's smoking hot. She's begging for any place to stay. Why are zero guys jumping on this? You know what? I am not going to be the only one that fucking falls into this trap, because there's a reason. There's a reason. If some pretty girl goes on Facebook and goes, I need a place to bed down at,
right,
there's going to be no shortage of dudes unless they have a reputation for being out of their fucking mind.
Right.
Right. It's like when somebody comes up and they're like, I got a great investment to sell you on. It's returns are near 200%. And you're like, then why are you selling it to me right now? Why isn't Wall Street knocking down your fucking door?
Is that what you said when you turned down your Bitcoin investment, Bob?
It is what I said. And then I'll stab you like a fucking hobo.
And you know what? It was like the first time in my life, in my young life, that I overlooked hotness and paid more attention to red flags. Because like 3 weeks later, she's like, oh, the guy that I stayed with made up some story that I wouldn't leave and stabbed him. And, all a bunch of lies, but I need another place to stay and maybe some bail money. So I'm like, whew, close fucking call.
Oh, shit.
Anyways, that's back great. To my original point. All those people combined, there is this comic, and this guy, I've known him for years, and he is a little bit on the spectrum, okay? He's got a touch of the autism, a little dash.
A little sprinkle. Yeah.
So, but the thing is, dude, he leans into it. It's one of those guys where like, he found out he has this, and every goddamn post is, I need to be booked on more shows. And if you don't, you're bullying me because I have autism. I'm like, this seems like you're a little bit taking advantage of this affliction here. He is the combination of all three things we've discussed here. It is, what can you do for me? Everyone needs to go to my GoFundMe and fund my new special. I'm going to film a special, and it's going to be the greatest special. And if you don't, it's because I have autism and you're bullying me. And then, like, also, he will ask a girl out. If she says no, he'll put her on blast on his Facebook page. This person, and he'll make shit
wow.
up. He'll be like, I was just trying to be nice to this girl and ask her for a simple date. She called me ugly and fat and says you're a retard. I'm like, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. So anyways, this is a person that I'm continually seeing his shit and going, no, what is to be gained? What is to be gained if I say anything?
First of all, I think you should Donald Trump this. I think this is actually a good time for Donald Trump.
What, just make fun of his disability?
No. You do what he did.
I'm not doing that.
You do what he did to Elizabeth Warren, and you just go,
rape him?
You're not autistic. You're lying. And then you need to prove you're autistic.
He's not lying.
You throw a bunch of matches on the ground. You're like, how many are there?
He kind of proves it by the posts, actually. How
much do you know about trains?
Here's the thing is, he's 10% mental disability and 90% spoiled Orange County rich kid. That's where it comes into play. Everyone assumes, like, because he has a touch of this thing over here, that we should ignore this 90% horrible human being. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like
it's a fine line to toe. I understand that. But, like, for like 4 years, I'm like, no, there's more horrible, spoiled human being. He even looks like a spoiled little rich boy. Like, he's got a spoiled little rich boy haircut. He's got the little fat, spoiled boy face. All that's missing is a sailor suit and short pants. That's all that's missing.
Ryan, did you see what happened with Pete Davidson while you were gone?
Yeah, he made fun of a war vet.
Yeah, and then
am I doing that right now? Am I coming off?
No, not at all. Well, then the next week they had him on SNL, and the guy came on, and they did an apology together. It's actually
I read about the outrage, and then I watched the clip. I'm like, what was wrong with that? Barely
what
anything offensive
say?
About that.
Regardless,
so there's a guy who was running for Congress. This is pre-election. He has an eye patch.
Yeah,
and someone else had said he looks like a James Bond villain, so
right.
That helps you picture.
Yeah.
Now they were doing a bit on SNL where they were showing pictures of people, and Pete Davidson had to say who he thinks that is.
Right.
So they show this guy, and he starts laughing. He's like, "Oh, you'd be surprised to find out this is someone running for Congress and not a hitman in a porno movie." And everyone laughs because I think that's funny.
Okay.
It seemed like a good description.
Whatever.
And then he said, "Yeah, I guess he lost his eye in a war, or whatever. I'm sorry, whatever." And
all right.
That the country like lost.
What about the
troops?
Yeah, I know.
They had the guy on, and I think they did a really good job with it. But what he did before that, which was even better, was he did an analysis of Kanye when Kanye went to go see President Trump, and it was one of the most brilliant things. He started out by pointing to like Michael Che, the black guy next to him, and he goes, "We had to do a report on Kanye. Some people thought Michael Che should do it, you know, because he's black. But I'm crazy, and let's be honest, we all know who's running the ship with Kanye right now." But he did this great thing, and his closing line, which is now my wife and I say this to each other back and forth when we see people acting like assholes in public.
Sleep in a different bed.
I'll protect you, but not from stabbing.
You sleep close to the window.
Rape me.
What he said was, he's like, "Yeah, I have a lot of mental problems, and they've led me to do some really bad things in my life. But you know what? Something my therapist, my family, my mom, everybody around me has told me, having a mental illness is not an excuse for being an asshole."
Yeah.
And I think it was one of the most brilliantly delivered lines. He's like, "I understand I have a mental illness. I understand that makes me want to act certain ways. Doesn't mean I have to. And so, like, within the limits of my control, it doesn't mean I get to be an asshole just because I have this excuse."
Yeah.
Right.
And I've caught this kid that we're talking about lying before. I'm like, you know, he's like, "Someone made a fake profile of me just to bully me for autism." And at first I believed him. I'm like, "Holy shit." And I looked it up. I'm like, there's no profile that matches what you're describing or your name or anything. He's like, "Yeah, he must have been taken down." I'm like, "You just said it was just up just now." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." I'm like, "Do you have any screenshots?" Like, no, that must be gone.
But if he sent messages, you would have messages.
I'm like, "Then you sent messages." He's like, "Yeah, well, I deleted all those." I'm like, "Why would you delete
lies?"
Yeah, so I'm like, this guy's lying about.
You trying
a great
to save Facebook
things.
Some server space? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, so
you know, both of my nephews are Asperger's, like on the spectrum, like noticeably. Like, they're great kids, but you can tell, like, in social situations, the issues that they have. And then when we found that out as they were growing up, I would think back to growing up with my sister and be like, "Oh, she has it for sure. We just didn't know what it was."
Right.
And like, I definitely have it a little. Like, there's a lot of things where I have to stop myself from doing certain things and act certain ways.
Thing.
But I wanna lean into this and catch some of that sweet, sweet autism booking.
Yeah.
I just wanna.
You know what you should start doing? You should start messaging this comedian and talking about how he's never booking you because you're autistic.
Well, here's the thing, man, is that some people might be listening to this and being like, "Dude, they're going really shitty right now. Are they trying to be edgelords? Are they trying to make fun of a mental disability?" Quite the opposite is I'm a little offended that this guy feels that autism gives him this free pass to be this horrible human. It does not. That the autism does not make you a bad person.
Mental
this
illness.
This guy's a bad person independent of that.
Mental illness is not an excuse for being an asshole.
Right. Or to lie or to make up stories about people for empathy and shit like that. So anyways, someone tagged a friend of mine, and Mike, I know you're listening, you fucking did it on purpose, you little instigator, you. I've forgiven you, but you little instigator, don't act like you didn't. He tags me one night when I'm in Iowa drunk because the drunk snuck up on me. I try and make
it does that in the Midwest.
First of all, you can just say I was in Iowa. We'll infer the drunk part.
Well, that's the thing is that I pride myself on not saying anything negative online if I know I'm inebriated. It's something I picked up a few years ago. I'm like, all right, it's going to feel so good to say this thing, but I am drunk. If you still feel like saying it in the morning, you're more than welcome to when you wake up. And I almost never do. But I didn't know I was drunk because it was so cold. I was just pouring down these fucking beers just to get myself warm.
He just eaten a horseshoe. He didn't know what to do.
I didn't know that I was even drunk. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get tagged in this thing like, hey, everyone, I deserve your support. I work my ass off, and you people are assholes if you don't give me money. And like my friend tagged me in the post, and I was like, who could possibly care, you fucking moron? Everyone hates you. Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And I tried to take it down immediately. He'd already seen it. I'm like, shit. What was to be gained there? But you know what? Here's the thing. For all you that have that quote-unquote friend that you've been fucking holding your tongue for years, just do it. Because you know what? I'm blocked now, and I don't have to see that shit anymore. I feel like weight has been lifted off me. A fucking the weight of a spoiled little rich boy has been lifted off my shoulders. I know I no longer have to see his lies about how he's bullied or his fucking entitled posts about how everyone owes him money or owes him attendance at his dumb shows. I don't have to see anything anymore.
And it's all it cost you was a post with a few N-words. And
yeah, I call him a nincompoop four times.
Classic. Classic Midwest shenanigans.
But anyway, I was not making fun of autism just now. I just want to reiterate that. I was not doing that.
All right, next week, we're going to have that guy on the podcast. They come to an apology together.
Yeah, and he's going to have an iPad, so he'll poke his fucking eye out.
So the tour was a success then, I guess.
Yeah, it was a success. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I missed you guys, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be back. Yeah.
All right, so let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. I was not making fun of autism. Rape bait. Ooh, yeah, time passing by.
Motherfucking time is passing by.
I love watching hobos pee.